Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we hope you're having a good day out there. Good things coming up. Getting some entertainment news here. We got a little bit later. We're going to talk about this guy and his eggplant. We got that coming up. I want to get
aubergine.
Aubergine. Yes, yes. Aubergine. Yeah, I keep forgetting that. Aubergine. I got to remember that word. I like that word. And we got a couple of other fun ones I want to get into a little bit later as well. Got some interesting stuff I wanted to get to as far as things are priced too high right now. What's worth paying for? We'll get into that one as well. And we'll cover our schedule and some getting some good stories of the day, some of that. We kick things off with entertainment. And we talked earlier about Vera, one of the stars of the Conjuring movies, celebrating a birthday today. And happy birthday to her. Well, the real-life farmhouse from the 2013 movie The Conjuring is in Burrillville, Rhode Island. And it's open to visitors. And a guy named Brian DeSanders has been working there until he was abruptly fired last month because he was caught stealing by a ghost.
What?
Yes. The current owner, Jacqueline Nunez, claims that the spirit of John Arnold, who owned the home in the 1800s, told her Brian had swiped $3,000 from the cash box.
Ghost told her that. Okay.
And Nunez is not denying it. Quote, I and every person is entitled to experiences that bring understanding and meaning to our lives, including being informed or warned about wicked actors and actions. Brian denies he stole anything, and he doesn't think Arnold's ghost would rat him out either. He says, quote, for a spirit to go from to go after a staff member in that manner, I've never heard of such a thing at any haunted venue, let alone the Conjuring House. Okay, all right. I gotta take a second here. First off, how many haunted houses has he been in? How many?
For some people, if it's their thing, you know, they like to visit haunted houses. I haven't done it myself, so I have to say maybe zero.
I worded that wrong. I meant how many has he worked at?
Okay, because
I completely get you, but I got actually a couple of good friends that love doing this. They travel around the whole country going to haunted places and everything.
Yeah.
It's actually one of their date things they do.
Yeah. They have haunted tours of places.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what? That is not true. I was in one that I do feel was haunted when I was working in real estate as a secretary. I had to go and take pictures of places that were put on the market so I could stitch together these pictures for a 3D online tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go into an abandoned nursing home.
Oh.
And that was one of the creepiest experiences I've ever had.
Yeah, yeah, I imagine.
There were a lot of rooms. And it was empty, and it felt creepy.
Yeah, yeah, I don't blame you. I have never really watched court TV. I'm not even sure, honestly, if court TV is still on. But I want this case to go to court TV, and I want the ghost to be called up to the witness stand. I want it all. I want it all.
Okay.
I want to see it all, and I want to know where this ends. I'm following this story. I'm following this one. I ain't letting this one go. I also like how she is incredibly confident about this to the point where she feels like this is evidence of what the ghost has told her. I want to make it very clear. I'm not begrudging anybody in their beliefs or feelings, especially when it comes to the hereafter. I don't know anything really about that topic. My mom does. I'll bring her in next time that this kind of thing comes up. But I don't make light of those things. Believe what you believe. Feel what you feel. Don't let me or anybody else try to make you feel bad. I'm doing a morning show. And I'm looking for the comedy in this. And that's what I'm doing. So I don't know.
Pretty sure it's not going to hold up in court.
I don't think it's going to get there. Don't see it happening. But if it does, I'd love to see it on court TV. I wanted to touch on this one too, Melissa. Taylor Swift has one of the highest average ticket prices over the past 5 years, $239.
Okay.
She's second only to U2 at $272, but she's not even in the top 10 if you're calculating it by the minute.
By the minute.
A new study analyzed touring data from 200 of the most popular acts and compared their average ticket prices to the average length of their shows.
Okay.
And it turns out, actually, Bruno Mars is the costliest. So just looking at this list real quick, Bruno Mars, $2.19 per minute. U2, $2.12 a minute. Drake, $1.81 per minute, although that is going down by the second. I don't even think you're going to be able to see Drake for a while. He's Kendrick Lamar made darn sure he is not coming out of the woodwork anytime soon. The Rolling Stones at $1.78 a minute. George Strait at $1.77 a minute. The Eagles at $1.74. And Blink-182 at $1.53 per minute. And then it's a tie between Beyonce and Kendrick Lamar at $1.39 a minute. Morgan Wallen is also in that list, tied with those three. The reason Taylor's isn't high on the list is because even though her tickets are pricey, you get a lot of Taylor for your buck. Her concerts average 3 hours and 21 minutes, more than anyone else in the study.
Whoa.
So yeah, I don't do this often, but I do try to give credit where it is due, and that is a credit to her and her staff and her team. Part of the reason her shows last so long is because she has a lot more wardrobe changes. But that doesn't take a, that's something she does. She enjoys, the fans enjoy. So, I mean, you know, it seems to be working. She's followed by Dead & Company that averaged 3 hours and 14 minutes, where that's usually two songs. but that's jam bands. That's jam bands. You know, that's what they do. But it's kind of an interesting list.
And
when we're talking about ticket prices and everything, Taylor Swift is usually the first person we come after, in part because, again, her price is higher than anybody's has been in 5 years, $240 a ticket.
But that's the average.
Yes.
Because there are cheaper and there's more expensive tickets that you can get depending on the venue.
But it is noteworthy, and this stuff is not what I think is even just as interesting, Melissa, is that this is a topic that isn't going away. They're just finding new ways and new data to talk about ticket prices and how outrageous this has been, and how you and I, if we wanted to go or something, we need Sage to buy the tickets. We need somebody with actual money to be able to do something like this, because I can't even, like, my favorite band in the world, Living Color. I love that band. I think they're incredibly talented. They're very good. Not exactly a household name. Not exactly somebody that you're probably going to see on this list. Even that, I'm not sure if I can afford tickets for them. And I've never seen them. I'm dying to go. I don't think I'm going to be able to. I don't think I can, because I don't know if I can swing it. And I got a decent paycheck. I got a decent paycheck. I mean,
so here's the thing, James, with experiences, you know, that we do outside of or you know, vacations, fun things to do, whatever it is, the reality for most of us is that we have to choose sparingly, and we have to pinch pennies, and we have to save to be able to do these things, any of these things. I mean, you go to the Wisconsin Dells for a day, you're probably going to spend over $100 per person, very easily. I think tickets to a water park are well up over $50 now. I haven't even looked, but they were at least over $50 several years ago when I did look. So any kind of experience that we want to do that requires travel, that requires going to a venue, I mean, those are things we have to save for. Should it be that way? Should we be able to, you know, like have enough money in our savings account to justify spending that money to go do an experience like this, go to a concert you wanted to see your whole life? Or do we have to balance that with, okay, but what if my whatever in the house goes out and I have to emergency fix that? Those are my emergency funds and that's all I got.
Right.
You know, that shouldn't be the life we're being forced to live right now.
No. And it's a shame. It's a shame because the fans and the musicians are the ones that miss out when it comes to it. Our good friends over at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater, CWAC, have the Merry Wives of Windsor coming up at the Schmeckley Reserve. Schmeckley Reserve. I've heard it pronounced both ways, so I'm always going to mispronounce it. 2419 North Point Drive in Stevens Point. The shows are August 15th through the 18th. Get your tickets at CWAC.org, CWAC.org. Keep in mind, they've got the Matilda musical auditions coming up as well. That's Sunday, August 11th. So if you're curious about that and want to get involved, we encourage you to. If you'd like a preview of this show, on the most recent Director's Cut, we had on some of the cast members and Director Susan from this. A shout out to Amber and Nick for joining us. It was a really fun conversation, really fun interview. Check that out at civicmedia.us. You can just find it in our shows. And get your tickets for this amazing show at CWAC.org.
Yes.
And keep in mind, our second home, Melissa and I's second home, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, has a great main stage season coming up, and it all kicks off with Drinking Habits, their fall production. Auditions for that are August 12th and the 13th.
I was just looking that up. I was trying to make sure that we, you know, on our theater segment. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is directed by John Young, and the auditions are the 12th and the 13th. Do you have the times? They're not listed on here.
Nope. I don't.
Oh, 6:30.
I was going to say
6:30 to 8:30.
I don't think I've ever seen an audition over there that wasn't at 6 or 6:30. So I would say that that's a pretty safe time to get on over there. They've even got, if you haven't done this before, you can learn more. Not only can you get tickets, but you can even fill out an audition sheet beforehand if you'd like.
Yeah, right on the website, wrctheater.org. There's something fun, too, like that, and I think John is open to this. If you want to come and watch an audition, mm-hmm. just to find out about the theater, to know what the audition process is like, typically auditions are open that you can come and watch and get a feel for what you go through in an audition.
Yeah, yeah.
Is not that arduous.
No, it's not. It's a lot of fun. You do, especially once you get out there. And I've yet to see somebody in an audition not enjoying themselves. It's a really fun time and a really relaxed, calm, very welcome atmosphere at WRCT.
And I got to tell you, James, a little preview for the new show that I'm still working on here, the Community Stories with Melissa Kay. I've been talking with theater kids. Because as you know, they just wrapped up their last show, but I got to do interviews and conversations with a ton of kids. And the most common resounding theme that I have heard from all of these young actors is it's so welcoming here. People are so nice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the audition, I was a little scared, but once we got into it, it was fun. Mm-hmm. I had a good time. So it's so refreshing to hear that from our young people, that the theater is a fun place to be.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. And it's for young and old, anybody in between. Come on down and take in these auditions. Again, auditions of the August 12th and 13th over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Find out more at wrctheater.org. Wrapping up our theater entertainment segment, just touching up on your small screen tonight, Olympic highlights with Kevin Hart and Kenan Thompson start at 6 o'clock on Peacock. Primetime Olympic coverage is at 7. Today's events include women's 10-meter platform dive plus track and field. We've got the men's 400 semifinals, women's 200-meter race, and the women's 400 hurdles. All that coming up for you. Celebrity Family Feud is on at 7 on ABC. And the 19th season premiere of Hard Knocks premieres at 8 o'clock on HBO Training Camp with the Chicago Bears.
I was singing It's a Hard Knock Life from Annie in my head, and then you went sports.
Yeah, I went a different direction.
Dang it.
We're going to go a different direction when we come back. We got this the guy with the eggplant we're finally talking about.
Yes!
It's coming up.
It's aubergine. I was saying it wrong.
This guy with the aubergine coming up on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Join Lou. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. As good as you might be doing, I don't know if we're doing as good as this guy. Dave Bennett of Iowa just broke the record for the world's largest eggplant. And we are talking some serious eggplant here. It weighed in at over 8.3 pounds and 28 inches in circumference. The previous record belonged to a British guy with 7 2-pound eggplant. So Dave's is much bigger.
8-pound eggplant. This thing is bigger than his head.
Yeah. You got to look at the pictures of this if you get a chance to, everybody, because we're not doing it. There's no way we can do it justice.
It's like the size of a pumpkin.
Yeah. Yes. He hasn't gotten a plaque from Guinness yet, but they told him it's official. He says he's been growing eggplants in his yard for about 5 years. The interesting part about this to me, and part of the reason we're covering the story, is I feel a little kinship to this man because he's been growing them, but he's never eaten one. He says he recently ordered his first eggplant dish at a restaurant, but had to leave to go catch a concert before his food arrived, so he still hasn't gotten a chance
to. He still hasn't tried it? What was he growing them for?
I've read two different articles on this, Melissa, and I can't find any, like, where he started.
Like the color? Does he like how they look?
Yeah.
What's the attraction there if he's not going to eat them?
And he's been doing this for quite some time. Quote, I've been growing eggplants for probably 5 years now, he told Radio Iowa. 2 years ago, I set the state record at 5.6 pounds. He also told Guinness that he's been in contact he's been in contact with them so that he could, you know, find out if he wasn't sure. But I can't find any rhyme or reason of why he's doing this. Like, I'm very curious. I don't know if he just, like, fell into this. I don't know if you can fall into growing eggplants or not. But.
Or if they just, I don't know, had previous owner had some planted or they popped up out of a compost pile or something. Like, that they just were very big. I mean,
yeah,
is his soil just perfect for growing...
All good
giant
questions.
Giant eggplant? So many questions.
All fair, no, good
to be
questions.
Fair, to be fair, eggplant is a difficult vegetable. It's actually a fruit, but it's a difficult thing to prepare. Like,
oh.
I have had eggplant in things, and it was awful. If you don't do it right, it isn't great, but it is actually a really delicious ingredient to use. Maybe we'll have to do a Kitchens Open segment about it to delve into it. But you got to cook it a long time to get it to the right texture, and
really?
That's half the battle.
My Nana used to make some eggplant, and I do remember her in the kitchen for a long time with it. I guess I just never realized all that has to go into making it and making it good. It kind of makes me want to try it, actually, hearing all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's described as having on Wikipedia as a spongy, meaty texture.
I could handle that. I think I could handle that texture wise. Oh, that sounds all right. I don't know though. I don't think I'm going to be eating this one. This one doesn't look like it's for sale. It doesn't look like it's going to be.
Well, probably not. But the thing is, they don't last forever. So I would hope eventually that it does get eaten.
Yeah,
after it's recorded and somebody can make use of it. Although I don't know if they're that huge, if how good they are. I think that's true of like pumpkins when they get super, super big.
Well, speaking of pumpkins, I know we've got a couple of people, even locally, near us that do grow pumpkins and grow them for size and everything. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from you guys. Call up.
Yeah, for sure.
Love to hear from some people that are really doing this. 424-2600.
James's favorite topic, record-breaking things, whatever they are.
It gets me. In this day and age, and especially in a year like this, and in the next, 90-some days and everything, we need palate cleansers. We need things to remind us this is real life.
I may have been on my soapbox a few times today. Sorry.
Oh, you and me both. Yeah. I would like to take this moment to apologize to the audience for jumping on my soapbox. I didn't mean to. But it is, that is what we do around here. When we say real radio, we're not putting on a front here or anything, anybody. We don't put on airs. We certainly approach our job professionally. We don't just walk in here, let's go ahead and good morning, everybody. It's not like that.
No.
But we do want to give you...
these are real conversations we're having.
Yeah, and we
they're
want you
scripted.
To be a, want you to be a part of them. So feel free to always call in, jump in. The phone lines are always open for you, 715-424-2600. There is a new report out on bargain hunting, and it includes lists of things that are priced too high and stuff where higher prices are worth it. Maybe not surprisingly, the price too high list is topped by gas. The current average price is $3.47 a gallon, which is down 9% from last year at the time when it was $3.83. Fast food is the runner-up on the too expensive list, followed by meat and fish, automobiles, smartphones, eggs, clothing, personal care items, snacks, and medicine. So that is the list of things that we think are priced too high. But despite those prices, there are things people are willing to splurge on. When asked what's worth paying more money for these days, smartphones came in at number one. People don't care if there are cheaper phones out there. They want to shell out top dollar for the top phone. Appliances are the next most worth it, followed by computers and laptops, personal care items, TV, laundry materials, coffee, clothing, shoes, and skincare. So that is the list people are willing to pay for.
Off of that list, things I'm willing to pay more money for include shoes and clothes.
Yeah.
Because I do believe you get what you pay for with those items. I think some, let's say, technology items are overpriced because I don't need all those functions.
Oh, but
I don't need the latest iPhone.
Yeah, yeah, but you say that, Melissa, but hear me out,
no,
okay? These
no.
new phones have 20 cameras.
I want this phone to last for the rest of my life, James.
But this new phone has 20 cameras on it.
I don't care.
It's all they keep doing. They just keep adding like a new lens or a new camera and then selling a new phone and charging you like $1,000 for that phone. I couldn't agree with you more on this.
Then the update fails or it shuts down airlines all over the nation.
Right,
like, you
right.
know, like things... Do we really need to jump so far ahead in tech before we're ready to be there? No, I don't think we do.
And we've been doing this for over a decade where we keep doing these things where we keep trying to advance tech when we're not even caught up with it yet as a society. and it's something that it's kind of something that has always been, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, some of that. I have never been that type of person. If there is an advantage of growing up poor, it's not being able to afford those things. So yeah. I've grown up to really understand that, hey, if I'm going to spend money on something, I got to get a bang for my buck.
And you want it to last.
Yeah. And I'm with you out of this list. For me, shoes are the only thing that I feel that way about. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say skincare is something that I encourage people to get the right products for. And everybody's different and everybody's got a different skin. So mm-hmm. certain products are going to work better for you than others and all that. But right. when it comes to shoes, I growing up, if you got a pair of shoes, they got to last you at least a year. At least a year.
You got to have a good foundation, especially if you work on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that when I was working at a high school, that I was on my feet all day long, and I have to, you know, you got to take care of your body.
Yeah. I also think that it's noteworthy that people are noticing these things more and more and pulling back from these things more and more. To mm-hmm. the tech community out there, when it comes to these laptops or phones or any of that, I would say, you know, instead of having to re-release a new laptop or a new phone, you know, working on the products you already have and making them better.
Make them fixable.
Yeah.
You should be, I want to buy items that I can fix. Maybe not me personally, because I'm not going to fix a computer. But, you know, like, I want to be able to fix the thing when it breaks instead of just throwing it away and getting a new one.
And that's for every single product.
Yes.
Like,
I want a vacuum cleaner I can fix.
Yeah. We've gotten rid of repairmen. We don't have, like, it used to be every rural community had a repair person, somebody that could,
someone
you know.
You could take your clock to when it was broken, your shoes to be resold. I mean, those things were important because we need to use the items that we have versus being a throwaway society.
There would actually
should we even bring up the plastic in the ocean? Probably not.
Yeah, but it's worth noting. And it's in part because we just keep having more and more stuff and we're just buying new stuff and we're just throwing things away. Think of the jobs and the economic impact it would make instead of just spending money on one product if we're fixing multiple products. And mm-hmm. we are more of a society like we used to be where something breaks down. Well, let's see if I can fix it before I buy a new one.
I mean, if we want to talk about going back to a time, it's a difficult conversation because that part of it, I agree with. We should be making good products. We should be making them here in America, mm-hmm. what we can.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Those jobs should be good paying jobs that people can support their families and live on. And then we have products that we can be proud of, that we can fix and keep using and pass on to the next generation. Those things are things we could be proud of and do.
Mm-hmm.
There are some other things in our past that we definitely don't want to go back to.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to
go
back to a time where not everybody has the same freedoms and the same rights.
Yeah.
No. No, no, no.
Two very different conversations there, yeah.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call before we go to break. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, growing up as a kid, I tried to fix everything broken around the house.
Nice.
And I still do that now. Melissa mentioned vacuum cleaners, and that brought me to remember. I tried to fix my mom's vacuum cleaner when I was a kid. plugged it in, it wouldn't work. Forgot to unplug it and took my knife and cut the cord in half. it sparked like crazy and melted a little dent in my knife. But
oh, no.
I'm still here.
Still here.
Well,
we're very
good.
Glad you are, sir. We're very glad you are.
I've definitely had to put a belt back on a vacuum cleaner before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done that.
But I've not tried to electrocute myself.
No.
I'm glad you're still here.
Very glad. I really appreciate the feedback and the story, sir. Thank you so much. Have a great morning.
Yeah, you too.
You too. You too, man. Thank you for that.
But the ability to be able to fix those things, it's empowering, and you feel good about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. There's nothing like fixing something and looking at it, and the other person runs it or something. And like,
Laura and I were just talking the other day, and she's like, oh, yeah, you're just going to look up a YouTube video on how to do this, aren't you? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, no, that's great. I love it.
Yep.
Because there is so much information out there. If, you know, my dad taught me a lot of things about how to fix stuff. And like our caller just mentioned, you want to fix the things around your home. But if you don't have somebody to teach you in this day and age, there's always YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thankful for that. I enjoy that. I like fixing things. So I like those videos, and I appreciate that. Appreciate all of our callers. Thanks so much for calling up. Keep calling, everybody. Got another half an hour with you. We'll get to our news and our sponsors break. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun. Melissa and James taking you through your morning at WFHR.
Round, round, get around. I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round. I get around. I get around.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday out there. Thank you so much for joining us for it.
Yeah, sun is shining. It's a good day.
Yeah, got a good one here for you. Everybody likes a bargain. Everybody likes a good bargain. You ain't going to find anybody out there. Please call up 715-424-2600.
No, don't give me a bargain.
If you want to pay full price for something, you know what? Take more of my money. So everybody loves a bargain. Think that's pretty soft. But do you know how long that feeling lasts? About 3 hours, 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours.
There's a new survey out on everyday expenses, and it found that many people get an actual buzz when they score a good deal. Your endorphins go off and everything.
Yeah.
The average, quote, post-purchase glow lasts about 216 minutes or 3 hours and 36 minutes, since no one's really doing the exact math on this.
Mm.
About 1 in 3 people feel the buzz longer than that. So we're talking 4 to 10 hours even. And 10% of people say that it boosts their mood for the entire day.
Okay.
60% of people believe that they can find a deal on anything, and 54% say that they're the best bargain hunter they know, and people aren't shy about talking about it either. 59% of people like to brag about getting a great deal, a great price to their partner, friends, and extended family. So what counts as a good deal, on average, it's savings of at least 36%.
Yeah.
There's a lot there.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bargain. That's a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting at least a third, 30% of it off, that's depending on the starting price. There's a lot of factors that go into actual, you know, sale prices. But
yeah. I will say every once in a while, and I'm probably not looking at these products anyway, but every once in a while I hear a product on TV or something like that, and they offer, we're offering $300 off on this here product, and they don't tell you how much the product costs. I'm like, yeah, that's out of my range. Like just the discount.
Just knowing that.
Like, if they're giving me $300 off, chances are I'm not
going to be afford the rest of it. Yeah, once it's $5.
That ain't a mattress I'm buying. That ain't, you know, the chances are. So there are deals, and then there are things that are like actually where the deal actually tells me, okay, this isn't me. This isn't for me. that kind of thing.
I'm probably the wrong audience for this because I am not a shopper. In my, I want to say, early 20s, I maybe was a little bit more of I want to say materialistic, maybe is the right word for it, because I would go to specifically Walmart all the time, and I'd end up coming out of there with like 10 items that I didn't need, but they were all on sale, James.
Mm-hmm.
And I, there's a lot of factors that went into why that happened at that point in my life.
Yeah.
But there was a turning point for me where I was like, you know what? How many of these things do I bring home and then they just sit there and I don't use them, I don't touch them, they don't do anything for me or enrich my life or my daily routine in any way? Why did I buy that?
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was on sale? That's not a good enough reason. So one step that I made was I quit going to Walmart.
Yeah.
And I suddenly found that all of those things that I was bringing home, I didn't need.
In the interest,
I didn't miss them.
Yeah, yeah, and I appreciate you sharing that, Melissa. I think you're not alone in that one. I that's something that I think some of us have gone through and realize, especially if you don't. It's even more noticeable when you don't have a ton of things and you do this. In the interest of real radio, like we've talked about here, I am not proud of this, but I will share. I don't buy myself things very often, and I don't buy big products for myself at all. If we're talking a vehicle, sure, but that's a necessity. As far as things that are not a necessity, I don't do that very often. And I made a bit of a... I mentioned a couple weeks ago I was going through some head trauma and some tooth pain and some of these things, and I'm up later than I usually am at night, which is saying something. And I'm like a lot of people, very excited about this new game that came out, the NCAA football game. It's been 14 years since they come out with a new one. A lot of us felt like that loved the original game that, oh, they're not going to come out with a new one. And oh my God, they are? This is amazing. Wait a minute. I can't play it on my old system. I need a new system. Fine. Let's do it. Oh, pricing program? I don't have to pay it all at once? Sounds great. Sign me up. So I did it. Ooh. And at like 3 in the morning, I made this purchase. Uh-oh. And I did all this. And I've got a new PS5. And I have the new video game. And I've had it for about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks now. And I have played it a total of 10 minutes. 10 minutes I have played that thing. It is still costing me money as we speak.
I'm not laughing at you.
It is. Oh, please. I'm bringing this up so people can laugh at me, so we can get something out of this purchase, at least some content and laughter.
I did the same thing. It's been 20 years since I did it, maybe 15. But yeah, it was some kind of like hair curling straightener thing. And I bought it and I made payments for a while. It was like, I never used it. It was like the split ender. Or something really silly like that.
I can't prove this, and I have yet to be able to catch it on camera, but I'm pretty sure that system is laughing at me. It's just laughing at me, Melissa. I'm pretty sure of it. So learn from me. Think things through. I'm not telling you not to make the purchase. Just think it through. Don't do it. These impulse buys is where they get a lot of us.
Yeah. Well, but there is something to be said for having a retail therapy. It can be a good and positive thing if you approach it with the right mindset of, okay, this is a thing I need. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to purchase this thing and I'm going to feel good about it because I got it on sale. I watched for it. I planned, I saved the money, all of these things. I made the purchase. Feel good about that. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of science behind that, the endorphins that it creates and the longevity of those endorphins, for some more longer than others, of course, as we were just touching on. But as far as that part of like getting a good deal and how long it lasts, for me, I feel like I'm an outlier in this because that was weeks ago. I got a deal on both of those things and I still feel good about it, even though I have not been able to use them much. I get a deal on something and I feel good about it for a long time afterwards. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, even when I, like, the shoes I have on right now, I got a deal on. And I've had them for about a year or so, and I still feel like every once in a while it dawns on me in that. And that feels good.
Or I'm wearing a dress that I got, for free because Laura's mom gave it to me and somebody compliments me. And I'm like, thanks, it was free. I'm happy and pleased about that. Or I find something at Goodwill for $2. Mm-hmm. I bought a chair at Goodwill for $7. And one of my young friends helped me recover it and plan out the, we put a new fabric all over it and it looks great.
Yeah.
$7.
There are few things that feel better than getting a deal at a garage sale. That's one of those things that you will hold that up like you just won a Super Bowl. Like, yes! It feels good. It does feel good. I just saw an eagle flying by, Melissa, and it's just floating out there. And
oh, cool.
My goodness, is that a majestic bird. That is just one of the most beautiful things you'll see.
We have a high a population as we do. I just saw statistics about that. I think we're in the top 10. For highest numbers of eagles in the state.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, and that's the work of our DNR and our preserving,
like our raptor rescue places that help birds and wildlife in general.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It is pretty darn cool. And one of those things that we just get. I'm distracted. It's such a beautiful bird. We're gonna go to break.
Break so you can just look out the window.
Yeah, and we'll be back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR. It's such a cool. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and I are going to take you right to the top of the hour. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. A big thank you to the best listeners in radio. I don't just say that. I know it and I mean it. I think it's a fact. We appreciate every one of you out there. Wrapping up our big news of the day, for those that did not hear, possibly, Vice President and presidential nominee Kamala Harris has chosen Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and they will be in our state tomorrow in Eau Claire.
Do want to remind everybody of course, the upcoming primary on the 13th. Mm-hmm. It's right around the corner. Make sure to go to myvote.wi.gov and make sure that you are not only registered, but you know where to go to vote and all of that. And keep in mind that this Friday is the deadline to request an absentee ballot for a number of different people, like regular and permanent overseas voters, for voters that register in person at the municipal court. I want to do that. And, of course, Wisconsin is a same-day voter registration state, so learn more about that and other things at myvote.wi.gov. Be informed, get out there, and help democracy ring.
Yes, and make sure you read up on the referendums. That's one of the really important things on this primary ballot, and make sure that you understand how our legislature, which is notorious for not moving things forward, wants to have power over emergency funds.
Yeah. We got a That Ain't Right story here I'm going to get to real quick, and then we'll get to our schedule and the rest of our day ahead. A so-called influencer named Catherine Driscoll recently married someone named Cabot, whose family is worth like billions. And Catherine decided she wanted to change her Instagram handle to her married name and found out that the Catherine Espola was taken. The woman who had the handle was Kate, and she was just using it as a low-key family account, and she says she was surprised when she received a message from Catherine offering to buy it from her. Kate hesitated because she saw that selling your username was against Instagram policy, and it could get you kicked off the platform. So, and I didn't know that. That's quite interesting. I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, it does make sense in some ways.
Yeah, but
I never thought about it before.
She says she did consider just giving it to Catherine, but then Catherine got nasty. She started badgering Kate about her name and saying that no one in her husband's family is named Kate, and doubted that it was actually her real name. She even asked Kate to show her proof of her name. This is a stranger, by the way, telling her this.
Wow.
Naturally, Kate was not interested in showing an ID to this random bully on social media, and she tried ending the conversation. But Catherine was not having that. She said that she was reporting Kate to Instagram for pretending to be someone she's not, and she said that it's illegal and really embarrassing for her. Kate also
because she wants to take over her name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kate also reported Catherine for harassing her online and demanded that she sell her username. She also posted screenshots of their conversation online where Catherine's entitled attitude is getting roasted.
Yeah.
Instagram hasn't commented, but obviously Catherine did not get Kate's account. Catherine hasn't shared her side of the story, as far as we know, and it's unclear how much she would have paid for the username. But good on Kate for this.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much entitlement that comes with people who, some people, I should quantify, who receive this kind of instant fame on social media platforms. And then they're like, well, everybody should just bow down to me. I have 50 million followers. Why don't you just do what I say? Well, no, that doesn't make you king of the internet.
It doesn't make you anything. All it means is that you might be able to be an influencer, or you might be doing something that is, you know, popular to some people, but not to everybody.
I mean,
it doesn't mean or doesn't amount to anything. It ain't going to help you get it'll help you get an influencer job, but that's about the end of the list.
Mm-hmm. The best part about it is that she posted the conversation online, and she's getting roasted for her entitled attitude. I think that's the icing on the cake here in this story.
The entitlement, the living in a bubble, the idea that, well, people are going to back me on this, and then it blows up in their face. Like, that happens so often. These people that live in these bubbles.
It's almost like when you surround yourself with people who always tell you yes, and then you venture outside of your circle, and someone says, no, that's wrong. and then you go home and cry about it? Does that kind of sound like what's happening here?
Yep, yep. Sounds a lot like it. Sounds a lot like it. And sounds like a that ain't right story that we need a palate cleanser for. And we got one for you. We got nothing but great stuff lined up for you Monday through Friday. Be sure to stick around for Matt and Air on Air. That is coming up right after Melissa and I. Mm-hmm. It's a fun show. Be sure to check that out.
Yeah, her and Greg have a good time.
Yeah, they're wonderful together. Be sure to check that one out. We got another great show on right after that, Melissa.
Yeah, Todd Alba is on from noon to 2, and he's got interesting insight from the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
of multiple things going on in politics. So I do try to tune in when I can, but... You know, we also have to work too, James.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the what I run into.
It's one of the hard parts.
I run into that every day, 2 to 4 with the Maggie Dawn Show. I try to catch as much of that as I can. Maggie's one of the more important voices in radio, and we got her. You know, she's here with us, and we appreciate that and appreciate her insight and her show. She has a lot of fun with the show. She's going to make sure you have a good time while also being informed. Join us for the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4, Monday through Friday.
And then following that, we have our local programming.
Yeah, yeah. We are here for you. 4 to 5, be sure to join us for Midday Magazine in Part 1 today. Reverend Beth Habhager is going to join us.
Oh, good.
We're going to talk about the church. We're going to get a church update. Brat Fry, rummage sale that they have going on, book sale update, all of that coming up for you. And in Part 2, we're going to hang out with our friends from the Southland County YMCA. Looking forward to that. Always good to catch up with our Y. Keep in mind, tonight, Rafter Baseball on your radio dial right here at WFHR starting at 6:20. The boys of summer are at Witter Field to host Minnesota and to host a bunch of our law enforcement as tonight is National Night Out.
National Night Out from 3 to 6. You can take the family for this fun, free event. Visit community booths. See police and fire displays. They even have a bouncy house. Kit, James, do you think we can play in the bouncy house?
We're going to find out.
And I think there's even balloon making and face painting. You're going to have a great time. And if you're there, you get a free ticket to the game that starts at 6:35.
That's pretty cool. We want to send a shout out to Gamber Johnson, who have helped make it so that you can get those tickets for free.
Yeah.
A big shout out to them. Buy local, support those that support our communities. We're going to have Stevens Point PD down there, Rapids PD, some of our emergency services. Stop down there, say hi, and get a thank you in there if you can.
Yeah. And if you head over to the National Night Out in Stevens Point, they're gonna bus 50 people over to the game.
Yeah.
They got space for 50 on their bus and a free ticket to the game as well. So come on over, Stevens Point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got the doors open for you. Keep in mind, August 7th, we'll be celebrating our heroes in education. Teachers get into the game free by showing their badge. And it's going to be honoring Skyward Unsung Hero of the Year, Janine Clemen, Lincoln High School art teacher.
Oh, I've been watching for that to come out.
Mm-hmm. August 7th.
I know they nominated her like at the end of last season.
That's coming up tomorrow when the Rafters host Fond du Lac. We'll be talking about this on Playmakers from 5 to 6, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Be sure to join us for Playmakers. Keep in mind, Tuesdays and Thursdays, we've been playing kind of Unlabeled and Seth Faces the Music. But coming up very shortly, we'll have Community Stories with Melissa.
Yes, I am looking forward to debuting the show. There's a lot of work that still has to happen. Sorry, James, in the background. But I've been having a lot of fun having conversations in our community, and I cannot wait to share them with all of you.
Had a great conversation yesterday with the soul of our station and our head of our station, and Chuck Gennaro. And Chuck and I were talking about a lot of things, and one of the things we talked about was this show, Melissa, and both him and I, along with all of Civic Media, believe we don't want to get it done soon. We want to get it done right. And so you got the time. You need to go ahead and to enjoy, and maybe if you get a chance, take in the Wisconsin Rapid City Band one more performance tonight.
Hey, it's the last one.
Yeah, they're going to be at the Performing Arts Center at 7:30. Join them for this city band concert. It is going to be a blast. They're going to let it all out on the stage and show up. Let them know how much we appreciate our Wisconsin Rapid City Band.
Yeah.
We appreciate them. Great summer, you guys. Great run of shows. Appreciate them so much.
And you said that's
so
over at Robinson Park?
Nope. It's at the Performing Arts Center this
one. Oh, okay.
Usually at Robinson Park, but this one, the last show of the year is going to be at the PAC. Join them over there for that. And find out more at wrcityband.org. wrcityband.org. Encourage you to do that, everybody. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a fun one. Also wanted to get to a couple of world good stories here. And some cops in Portland, Oregon randomly found someone's pet tortoise walking down a path. His name is Bowser. Great name for a tortoise.
It is so good.
He'd been missing 2 days and somehow made it to the other side of the busy highway, but he's now back home safe and sound.
Oh, so glad he's safe.
Shout out to those officers. And an 18-year-old from Oklahoma named Reed Markham just did his annual backpack giveaway on Saturday. Volunteers handed out more than 6,000 of them for back-to-school season, along with school supplies. He gets it by sponsor. He gets it sponsored by nonprofits every year. He's handed out more than 33,000 backpacks since 2017.
Wow.
Over 1.3 million worth of binders, crayons, and other stuff.
That's
incredible. And this is one young man that has done this, along with, of course, the help of nonprofits. But
but he's leading the charge with this.
Yeah, yeah. Just a really noteworthy story. Credit to that young man. And boy, the future looks bright when you hear stories like that, when you see people like that in the world.
Yep, agreed.
Fantastic show today, Melissa. Thank you so much for the great work.
We totally went off script, but it was fun.
It was fun. And we were able to do that thanks to all our sponsors out there and our great company. And of course,
thanks for all our callers today, too. Thank you.
Yeah, the best listeners in radio. You guys be good to each other. Talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.